over to the book of Mark, chapter 4. I want to share some things with you that if you can receive this, I believe it'll make a huge difference. It'll help you to be able to receive and to be a blessing. Mark chapter 4 and in verse 35. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, this is an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to go into all of the detail, but let me just go back to verse 35. It says, "And the same day." You know, often we just read things like this and don't pay attention to what's being said. But the same day is what? Well, if you back up into the fourth chapter, this is the same day that he taught the parable of the sower sowing the seed. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 down through verse 19. And it's the same day that he taught the parable about the man who just cast seed into the ground and it just sprung and grew up and he didn't know how it happened. It just was the nature of the seed to produce. It's the same day that he taught the parable about this seed, the mustard seed, that's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's sown, it becomes the largest of all herbs. And the fowls of the air come and dwell in the shadow of it. And in Mark's account, it only shares a few of this, but if you put Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel together, it actually is the same day that he taught 13 parables. The most information that we have in one day of Jesus' ministry recorded in the Bible was this same day. And all of these parables, it was about the parable of the tares, about the man who sowed wheat, but then his enemy came and sowed tares, and they let them grow until the harvest, and then they separated the tares from the wheat. So anyway, if you were to go back and study, if there were 13 parables that Jesus taught about the pearl of great price, about the woman who lost a coin, all of those parables were on this same day, and that same day is when he got into this boat. Now, this is really important because that gives a background for this. And without me going and teaching all of those parables, just look back in verse 14. When he started giving the explanation of the parable of the sower sowing the seed, he says, "The sower soweth the word." If you read this same thing in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, over there, it's talking about that the seed is talking about the word of God. So all of these parables are about how the kingdom operates, and it's using a seed to illustrate how the Word of God operates in the believer's life. Here's another way of saying it. The Word of God is to the kingdom of God the way a seed is to this natural world. Now, this is important. I'm not going to teach all of these parables. I want to show you something out of this instance. But it's important that you get this point. Jesus likened the Word of God to a seed. Now, that's important. You may not have thought about this. We are getting away from being an agricultural society, and we aren't as aware of this as past generations. We think that our food comes from, I don't know, Safeway or Tom Thumb or whatever. Amen. It really doesn't. Everything you eat, whether it's animal or vegetable, everything comes from a seed. This kingdom operates on seeds. You and I came from seeds. Anything that's alive comes from seeds. Seeds are how God created things. And without a seed, nothing exists. And there are some laws that govern how seeds work. There's what we call seed time and harvest. You can't just plant a seed. This 26th verse down here shows about a man who puts seed in the ground and he just sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how. Man, I think that's awesome. You know, when the Lord first touched my life, that this verse right here really ministered to me, because, you know, when the Lord touched me, he told me to quit school. Lots of people thought I was crazy because of this, and people were saying, you can't do anything if you don't go to seminary. And they were telling me that I had to do all of these things, and yet God led me on a different path. And I remember just feeling like, God, what do I do? And the Lord used this passage right here. He says, you just put the seed in the ground, and if you'll leave it there, it will spring up and it will grow. And man, this was a major encouragement to me. And I can tell you, any good thing that's happened in my life or ministry is because I've meditated in the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you've meditated in it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Lots of people would like to be prosperous and have success, but they're trying to do it every way except God's way. They aren't taking the Word of God. They're depending on their great personality, on their wisdom, on their strength and natural abilities. But I'm telling you that the Word of God is to the kingdom of God the way a seed is to this natural world. If you want to get something growing, you've got to plant a seed. And the Word of God is the seed that releases the spiritual power of God. You know, you would think a person crazy if they wanted a garden and they went out and just prayed over that garden, anointed it with oil and spoke over it and did all of these things, but they never planted a seed. And you'd think they're crazy. If a woman wanted children and she just prayed to have children, but she never did anything, you know what? It doesn't work that way. I've prayed with people this week that couldn't have children. And I've told them, I've seen literally thousands of people who were unable to have children. I've prayed with them and now they have children. I even met this one little boy in Uganda who's named Andrew Womack. And so I took a picture of this little boy about 2 or 3 years old named Andrew Womack sitting on Andrew Womack's knee. Amen. It was kind of strange. But anyway, I've seen lots of people healed and I've seen people able to have children and stuff. And yet when I prayed with this lady this week, I said, now you got a part to play. Amen. This isn't going to be a virgin birth. You do your part and God does his part. So anyway, you got to plant a seed. The stork, you know, I'm not going to explain this for those of you that don't know it, but the stork, it doesn't bring babies, amen. You've got to plant a seed. And we would think a woman who wanted children and yet she didn't have a physical relationship with a man, we would think you're crazy. And yet, did you know spiritually there are people praying for healing? There are people praying for blessing, prosperity, joy, peace, wisdom, all of these things, and they have not planted the seed of God's Word in their life. I have people come to me all the time that want prayer for healing, and I say, well, what scripture are you standing on? And I don't know, you know. Doesn't it say someplace, is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament that by his stripes were, someplace in there, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, you know what, that's like a woman standing next to a man. You aren't going to get pregnant doing that. There's got to be a little bit of interaction. You got to know the Word a little bit more than to say someplace in the Bible I think it says something. That's not how it works. And I'm telling you, you aren't going to get pregnant spiritually and deliver your miracle if you don't take the seed of God's Word and plant it. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13, I just went blank on that, but anyway, it's in there somewhere. I'm going to have to turn over and read this after I made that comparison. That's terrible. Oh, man. 1 Peter chapter 2. Where is 1 Peter? It's somewhere in here. 1 Peter 2:23 is where it is. It says, where am I? I know it's here. Now, I can't believe I just had a blank. Somebody find out where this is. It says that you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Where is it? 1:23. I was in the wrong chapter. Okay, being born again. This is 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This word seed there in the Greek is the word spora, where we get the word spore from, like a flower, how it pollinates. And the word spora is a derivative of the Greek word sperma, where we get the word sperm from. This says you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. There are people that are praying for somebody to get saved, and they're saying, oh, God, save this person. People don't get born again by you praying for them. That's not real popular. There's people that just pray and beg. I had a woman come to me not too long ago, and she was saying, I've prayed for my husband for 20 years, and God hasn't answered my prayer yet. And she was bitter. And she says, maybe God will answer your prayers. And she wanted me to pray for her husband. And I said, I'm not about to pray for your husband the way you're wanting me to pray, because you're starting off thinking that it's up to God whether or not your husband gets saved. I said, Jesus has already died for your husband. He's already forgiven him sin. It's not God. It's not up to God whether a person gets saved or not. You have to be born again by a seed. And there's a lot of people that will pray for revival and pray for God to save people, but they will just stay in their prayer closet. They'll never go out and witness. They'll never share the word with anybody. I'm telling you, that's not how people get born again any more than babies come. Babies don't come by you praying for babies. Now, if you're sick, you can get healed. And then you have to plant a seed. To get people born again, you have to share the word of God. You have to tell a person the truth. And the seed has to be planted in a person's life. So anyway, I'm nearly preaching on all of these parables, but I'm just trying to get across the point that this is what Jesus had been saying all day long. Every parable he taught was about the word being a seed. The kingdom works on seed, time, and harvest. You've got to plant a seed, and the word is a seed. If you want something from God, take the word that promises it, produce it, and let it marinate on the inside of it. You know, just like a woman, when a seed is planted in her, it takes a time for that child to develop and be born. And there's people that come down and they want just an instantaneous miracle. And it can happen that way. But did you know what? Many times, I would say probably the majority of the times, you just plant the seed, you take the word, and there is seed, time, and harvest. With most people, it's more like seed and then time and then harvest. Amen. It takes a while for the word of God to work. And many people just dig their seed up because they look. And if you don't see instantaneous manifestation, then you say, well, I wonder why God didn't do this. He's planted a seed in your heart. If you need healing in your body, take the word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, 23 says that the word of God is health unto all of your flesh and life unto them that find it. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all destruction. Matthew chapter 8 is where this man who wanted his servant to be healed, he asked Jesus to come heal him. And then he said, Jesus, I don't need you to come into my house. Speak the word only. And Jesus was amazed. He says, I've never seen this great of faith, never in a person from Israel. This was a Gentile. And he said, he's got more faith than I've ever seen. Faith that just said, you speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. It made Jesus marvel. And there's many, many different passages that if you want healing, the number one way to receive healing is to take the word and plant it in your heart and meditate on it. And don't let this word depart out of your mouth. You got to get to where you speak in agreement with the word. There's some people that'll come and you'll have prayer for healing, and then you go out and somebody says, "How are you?" "Oh, the doctor says I'm dying. I've only got 2 months left." And you're hung by your tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. If you need to take the word of God that says by his stripes you're healed and all of these other scriptures, and then you need to speak that word and not depart from the word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. You can't plant a seed in the ground and then go dig it up the next morning to see if it's working and then replant it. If you dig a seed up every day and replant it, you'll never see anything grow. Likewise, if you sit here and say, "In the name of Jesus, I'm healed," and then somebody says, "How are you?" "I'm dying." And then you go and, you get prayer again, and "I'm healed." And somebody, "How are you?" "Oh, man, I hurt worse than I ever did before." You just dug it up. The seed isn't going to work unless you commit yourself to it. You have to believe in the laws that God created of seed, time, and harvest. Likewise, the word of God is to the kingdom of God the way seeds are to this natural world. No life exists on this planet apart from seeds. No life exists in the spiritual realm apart from the seed of the word of God. And the reason people aren't receiving their healing, deliverance, peace, prosperity, joy, victory, revelation about what God's will is and everything else is because they aren't taking the seed of God's word and planting it in them. That's as simple as I can make it. And there are people in this auditorium today who, you love God, I'm not against you, but you don't know what the word of God says, and yet you're wanting these positive results. I'm saying that's like a person praying over ground and can't understand why nothing is growing. All that's growing is weeds. If you want peas, you got to plant peas. If you want corn, you got to plant corn. And it will produce what you plant. Some people will say, "Oh man, I'm believing God and I've been doing everything right, and yet I'm sick, I'm poor, I'm bitter, I'm angry, I'm confused, I'm all of this, and yet I'm just standing on the word of God." That's like a person saying, "I planted corn, but I got tomatoes over here. I've got peas. I don't know how this happened." Whatever's growing in your life is what you've planted, or you have allowed to be planted on the inside of you. Everything produces after its own kind. And the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The only thing that's spiritually minded, which John 6:63 says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So to be spiritually minded is word minded. If you were meditating in the word and letting it not depart out of your mouth, not digging it up every day by your negative confession and being moved by other people, but if you were truly standing on the word of God and not aborting your miracle, then I can guarantee you all you'll reap is life and peace. If you've got something other than life and peace growing in your life, you're doing something other than meditating in the word of God day and night, because that's all spiritual mindedness produces. That usually goes over about like that. Most people don't like this because you say, "Well, you're saying it's my fault." Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. Amen. I'm saying it's your fault. And some people, "Well, you're condemning me." I'm trying to help you. As long as you think that all of your problems are because of who's in the White House and because of this, and they aren't giving you enough money, and if you could just get this and if you could get that, you're never going to walk in victory. You got to accept responsibility that it's your choice whether you become bitter or better. Nobody can make you fail. I don't care about the color of your skin, your lack of your education. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's you. And if you take the word of God, this word of God will break anything that has held you back. Amen. You know, I've got huge boulders on my property. I got this one boulder that's much taller than this ceiling. It's over 100 feet tall. And I carved out a chair on the top of it with my chisel. And I sit up there and look down on the world as everybody drives by. I love it. And anyway, this one huge old boulder, it's called Indian Head. It's got a silhouette of an Indian in it and stuff. But there are little pockets where the granite has worn away. And so the water will get in there and dirt will get in there. And eventually a seed lands there. And this huge boulder that is huge, it's, I don't know, it's probably not as big as this auditorium, but it's close. It's a huge boulder. Did you know that this boulder has been split in two by a seed that took root and trees are growing out of this boulder and split this huge boulder? That's the power that's in a seed. The power that is in the seed of God's word is bigger than whatever problem you've got. I'm not saying that some people don't have more problems and they haven't had more challenges than other people. I'm not denying that there are problems, but I'm saying that the seed of God's word is bigger than whatever problem has come your way. If you would take it and meditate in it day and night, you have the promise of Joshua 1:8, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. You will be healed. You will begin to succeed. You will have God's will revealed unto you if you will stay in the Word of God. The Word of God will overcome any problem that you have in your life. If you aren't overcoming, it's because you aren't taking God's Word. Anybody miss that? Did I make that too hard? People don't like it to be this simple. They don't like, you know why? Because if it is this simple, then that means that the reason you aren't prospering more is because you haven't given priority to the Word of God. Or maybe you'll give priority to it for a brief period of time, and then when the going gets tough, you root it up, go to confessing something else because it didn't look like it's working, and you give up on it. But I'm telling you, this is what Jesus was teaching this day. And after he had taught all of these things, that same day that he had been saying all of these things that I've been saying, that same day he entered into a ship and he said, "Let us pass over to the other side." You know what he did? This is the one who created the heavens and the earth by his words, is what it says. God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let the earth bring forth." This same God who created everything by his words and had just taught on how powerful the word of God is and that how the whole kingdom of God operates off of words, he gave a seed to his disciples. He didn't say, "Let's get into the ship, go halfway and drown." He said, "Let's go to the other side." God Almighty just spoke and said, "We're going to the other side." And then he got into the ship and he went to sleep. And so here they were in the midst of this sea, and a wind came up, and they were in a storm. And it says in verse 38 that he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know, this is really descriptive of where a lot of Christians are today. They're coming to the Lord and they're saying, "God, don't you care? I'm dying. The doctor says I'm going to die. God, the banker's about to come repossess everything. My marriage is falling apart." And they're upset and they're angry at God. Like, "I prayed. Why didn't you do anything?" God's part, he put life in the seed. And you plant the seed and this miracle of life begins to grow and split boulders and overcome problems. God's power is concentrated into the seed. And that's God's part. It's our part to take the seed and plant it and nurture it and water it and weed it and do the things that we have to do to protect it. But the miracle is in the seed. And that's God's part. Jesus gave them the seed. He gave them a promise. "Let's go to the other side." And you know what? He was asleep. And they came to him, "Don't you care that we perish? Get up and do something. Bail." Amen. "Take this bucket and bail water or row or do something." And there's people today that are thinking, "God, you aren't pulling your weight. You aren't doing it. I've prayed for this. I've prayed for that." I'm telling you, God's part was to give you the word that has life in it, that if you will plant this seed in your heart, it will produce healing, it will produce deliverance, it'll produce prosperity, it'll produce joy, it'll produce peace. Anything that you need is in here. God has done his part. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's not up to God to save you. He's already died. He's provided everything. He's given you these promises, and now you are born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You need to open up your heart and receive this seed. It's not up to God to heal you. God has already healed everybody he's going to heal. By his stripes you were healed. Now, all you got to do is take these truths and say, by his stripes you were healed. And if you will receive that seed will produce healing in your body. It'll produce deliverance for you. But see, we're coming and waking Jesus up. Jesus, why don't you heal me? His part is to provide the seed, to speak the word, to do these things. And we have to take this and put it in our heart. And so Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And he said unto them, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then in verse 40, he says unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Did you know in our politically correct world today, people would criticize Jesus if he did this? There's some of you that don't like what I've said today, because you know what I'm doing? I'm saying that you are responsible, that God has provided you with everything that you need. And if it's not working, it's because you aren't working it, not because God didn't give it. And there's people already upset at me saying, well, you are insensitive. You don't understand the people's hurts. You aren't empathizing with them and things like this. There's people upset at me. What would you think if I was to say, what's wrong with you? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? That's what Jesus was saying. Over in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, after Jesus' disciples couldn't cast this demon out of a boy who had seizures, they came to him, and Jesus, when he heard about this, he didn't say, guys, I'm sorry, it's my fault. After all, I'm the Savior. You're just disciples. I should have been here for you. Don't feel bad. You know, you're okay. I'm okay. We're all... He didn't try and make everybody feel good. He said, you faithless and perverse generation. How long am I going to be with you? How long do I have to suffer you? If Jesus was here today, he wouldn't be saying, oh, guys, it's okay. I mean, you're 2,000 years after I was here. And after all, God doesn't do miracles today, and you can't expect things to happen. You know, I had a man come up to me this morning, and last night he came down for prayer. One of our students prayed for him, and he had cataracts on his eyes, and his eyes are totally healed. The cataracts are gone. Amen. That happened here last night, right here in this auditorium. You know what? Jesus wouldn't sit here and say, oh, you're okay. He'd say, what's wrong with you guys? You're supposed to represent me. You're supposed to be casting out devils and opening blind eyes and seeing people raised from the dead. Jesus basically told these people, he says, what's wrong with you? Why are you afraid? Most of us would say, why were they afraid? They were drowning. They were in the midst of a storm. And see, most of us just would sit there and say, you're insensitive to these people, not understanding why they're afraid. You aren't ever going to bring somebody up to a higher level by going down to their level and being as depressed and discouraged and fearful as they are. We need to be telling people that God expected us to live a supernatural life. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. You should be walking in the power of God. People ought to be able to look at you and tell that there's something different about you. We're alive. They're dead. You ought to be able to tell the difference in a live and a dead person. I had one of my Bible college students just come up to me this last week and say that he was out at some place and somebody says, you're a Caris Bible College student, aren't you? And he said, yeah, how did you know? And he says, I can tell. He says, there's something different about those Caris Bible College students. That's the way it ought to be. So Jesus, it wasn't his turn to answer this. This is what we're doing. Oh, God, heal me. He's already healed you. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's already been done. Well, no, I'm not healed. Yeah, you are. You've got this power on the inside of you, and you've got this seed. You've got fertile ground in your heart, and if you would take the seed of God's word and plant it in you and meditate on it day and night, not let it depart out of your mouth, not let anybody talk you out of it, that seed would produce healing in you, and you would be healed and set free. It is not God's turn to heal you. It's your turn to take the seed of God's word and sow it in your heart and begin to believe it and let the seed produce health. It'll be health to all your flesh. It's your turn to take the seed of God's word. Turn off the... Anyway, I'm not going to say that. But anyway, turn off the 10 Spies network that you're listening to that talks about all of the negative things and we're in a recession, and quit believing that stuff and go to saying that my God is going to supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if you would believe God and stand on the word of God, you'd prosper. You know, we're in the midst of what they call the Great Recession. That started in 2008, the very end of 2008. 2009, God told me to build a Bible college, and the first phase is $32 million. We're within 1 month of having it finished, and we're about $600,000 or $700,000 short of having it paid for. But you know what? We're 98% of the way there, and we still got a month to go, and I'm going to have the whole thing paid for during the time of the Great Recession. And you know why that happened? I have not badgered anybody. I haven't begged anybody. I haven't condemned anybody. We didn't sell bricks in the new building. We didn't do any of the gimmicks. It worked because I have meditated in the Word of God, and I'm doing what God has led me to do, and it's working. It's working. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're approaching things wrong. We are begging God. We think that prayer is what's going to change everything. Prayer is like water and fertilizer. And yes, we need to pray. Prayer is important. But if you water and fertilize barren ground, it's not going to produce anything. You got to plant the seed, and then water and fertilizer helps the seed grow. And if you pray and seek the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll see greater fruit. You'll see a greater harvest. Prayer and relationship with God is absolutely essential, but it is not a substitute for you not knowing the Word of God. A person who doesn't know what God's Word says and yet prays night and day and begs God over and over and over for something is still going to have nothing, because the whole kingdom of God operates off of seeds. And so what Jesus did, basically, he'd been teaching all day long on the power of the Word of God, and he gave his disciples a little pop quiz. He says, let's go to the other side. And then he wanted to see, were they going to operate on this? Were they going to stand on the Word, or were they going to let the storm take their attention off of what God said and start going by what it looked like in the natural? And sadly, they failed. And he had to get up and give them the answer and do it himself. But he turned around and he said, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you believe? We need to take the Word of God, and we need to start acting on the Word. And this is, I believe, the message that he's given. It's really important for you to see that the same day he had talked about how powerful the Word of God is was the same day that he did this. He gave them a promise, a word, a seed. And he wanted them to act on this. They should have rebuked the wind and the storm. They should have been able to do this because they had a promise that they weren't going to go halfway and drown. They were going to go to the other side. And they just didn't trust the word. They didn't trust the promise, the seed that God had given them. And I can tell you, if you're struggling, if you're worried, if you're fearful about something not coming to pass, it's because you aren't trusting the seed. It's because the seed isn't working in your life. You may desire the right thing. You may be praying and begging God to move in your life. But if the seed is working, there is just an assurance that things are going to work out. When a farmer plants his seed, he can't see anything for weeks, but he knows that that seed is working. And he will go and he'll start planting on his harvest and stuff. He's counting on it even though he hadn't seen anything. You may have prayed for something and may not be able to see the results right now, but if you'd get hold of these truths and meditate in the Word day and night, not let it depart out of your mouth, then you could have this assurance that I'm going to just sleep and rise night and day. The seed will work and it'll produce fruit. You don't know how. You know, I've got a series that I entitle Effortless Change, which to most people sounds like an impossibility. But if you would do it God's way, there, change just takes place effortlessly. If you take the Word and meditate in it day and night, it will change it. It'll change your attitudes. It'll change your perspective. It'll all of a sudden allow you to see the deception and the lies that are going forth in this world that are countering the Word. And the Word of God will just make you a different person, and you'll change effortlessly. When you plant an apple seed, that apple seed doesn't groan and yell and squirm and then all of a sudden just let out and here's an apple. It's just the nature of that seed to produce a tree that produces apple, and it doesn't struggle. It just, God made it that way. The reason the kingdom of God is a strain for most people is because they aren't going about it God's way. They're begging God. They're coming and letting somebody else pray for them. They're following people around to different meetings. They're doing everything that they can in desperation, trying to have a surrogate birth. They want somebody else to incubate the seed, somebody else to do it, and then produce your baby. And you know what? Because God loves us, He will sometimes cause miracles to happen through other people. If the only way you could get healed or set free was to get the Word, plant it in your heart, and it just take time, maybe a year or 2 years, for you to mature in the Word before you saw your miracle. If that's the only way that you could receive from God, then what would happen to the person who is only 1 week away from dying and they just get born again? They'd be destined to die. But there are people that have the gifts of miracles and the gifts of healings that can help people in situations like that, and they can receive a miracle, supernatural, just through a gift of the Spirit. And so, praise God, that does exist. But it was never intended to be a substitute for you taking the seed of God's Word and planting it in your heart. And sadly, the body of Christ only knows how to receive from God through a miracle. They don't know how to plant the seed and just have the blessing of the seed of God's Word work in their life. And so people are just praying and begging God. They will fast. They will call the prayer chain and think, well, God didn't answer my prayer. If we can get 500 people to pray, maybe we can put enough pressure on Him that He'll answer that prayer. When all you had to do was just take the seed of God's Word and plant it in your heart and leave it there night and day and meditate on it, and it just would automatically produce change in your life. It's effortless change. The only reason people are experiencing so much travail in change is because they aren't doing it God's way. You take God's Word, plant it in your heart, it will transform your life. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Word of God is how you get transformed in your thinking. And it's talking, the word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. It's the word we get metamorphosis from. It's talking about the process of a worm spinning a cocoon and coming out a butterfly. If you want to change from something that is earthbound, a worm, to something that flies and is beautiful, you do it by the renewing of your mind. And it is amazing how many people are trying to go this some other way. They will follow people all over the world. They'll do all kinds of things. They respond to gimmicks. You send in $10 and get this green string or this red string, and they'll respond to anything. They'll do anything except take the Word of God and plant it in their heart. If you take God's Word and put it in your heart, I guarantee you it will transform you, and you will become the person that God wants you to be. It takes time, and many people aren't willing to do that. They want to microwave their miracle. They just want to have it right now so that they can go back to being carnal and watching As the Stomach Turns on television. Man, I don't want to study the Word. I had a young man come up to me last night who's a Bible college student. And he says, every time I get into the Word and start studying, he didn't have the words to explain it, but he said, something happened. It's just the devil fighting me, and I hit this wall, and I can't study. And he says, would you please pray for me? And I said, well, what do you do when you hit this wall and can't study? He says, well, I usually go eat or something. And I said, you know what? If it is the devil, I don't know it's the devil, but if it was the devil, I said, you know what? You're rewarding him. He's going to keep fighting you because he got you to quit studying. He says, well, what should I do? And I said, man, if that happens, if you were going to study for an hour, study for 2 hours. Study for 3 hours. Just fight through this thing. And I said, if every time the devil hits you with this wall, it makes you study more, he'll quit hitting you with that thing. Amen. If you wake up during the night and can't sleep, just start praying and worshiping God and studying the Word, and the devil will quit waking you up at night. Amen. You fight through stuff like that. You just make the Word of God priority in your life, and the Word will change you. So I want to challenge you. You know, I usually come here every November, and if the Lord tarries, I may be back next November. What would happen in your life if you just made a decision that, man, this year until November 2014, if the Lord tarries, I am going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to know the Word of God for myself. I'm not just going to have the Word of God near me. It's going to be on the inside of me. And if you were to meditate in it day and night, if you need healing in your body, take the hundreds of scriptures about healing and get to where you meditate on them so much that you don't have to say, where is this verse? You know where this verse is. You can find it. And you start having intercourse with that Word and let this Word be planted on the inside of you. And I guarantee you, when I come back in a year, you'll be well. And yet there's some people that say, well, that's just too much effort. That's fine. Be sick. Just keep begging God and following people around. How's that working for you? I'm telling you, some people don't like this, but man, it is well worth the effort. And it's like one of these guys was saying up here today, it's addictive. Man, you get into the Word and it starts giving you joy and peace. It says in Isaiah 26:3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusts in him. Did you know you can get to where you enjoy peace more than you enjoy watching murder and lying and stealing and rape and plunder? You can actually get to where joy and peace is more enjoyable to you than the junk that you've been watching. You can get to where it's actually fun. Amen or oh me. I want to encourage you today that the Lord, I believe, is just saying that we need to take God's Word and make it a priority in our life. Meditate in it day and night. Don't let anybody talk us out of it. Don't say things contrary to it. You start walking in the Word of God and it will transform your life. My personal testimony is that the Word of God has just transformed me and transformed everything I'm doing. I'm doing things today that I couldn't have dreamed of doing because of God's Word. I just planted it in my heart and it's got supernatural life in it. Supernatural. And you know, it's peculiar to every one of you. Whatever your calling is, God didn't call you to do what He called me to do, but whatever He called you to do, you plant God's Word in your heart and it'll bring God's calling for you to pass. It will work. If you do these things that I'm talking about, you would have to backslide on God to keep from seeing His will fulfilled in your life. It's that simple. It's not hard. You don't have to beg God. You just meditate in this Word, seek God, and I guarantee you, God's Word will come to pass in your life. Isn't that good news? That's nearly too good to be true news. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for these truths. Thank you for revealing these truths to us and showing us how important the Word of God is. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that maybe haven't understood this or have forgotten it, aren't operating in it. Father, we just make a commitment to put your Word first place in our life. That, Father, we would plant this seed. Thank you for the miracle of your Word. Thank you for the power that's in your Word. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thank you, Father, that the Word of God is so powerful. Thank you for giving us this. Thank you for people that gave their life, that died to translate this Bible into our language. Thank you for all of the people that literally laid their life down to preserve this Word for us. And Father, we just ask your forgiveness for not giving it the priority, for not planting it in our heart, for putting all of our efforts into so much other stuff that doesn't amount to anything. Father, we want to receive this Word right now. According to James chapter 1, we receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. I believe that people all over this auditorium are just making the commitment to become a disciple, to learn the Word of God, to get their minds renewed and to experience this transformation by the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we agree. We receive. You know, let me do this before I turn the service back over to Pastor Bob. They've already prayed for people here today. People have been born again and stuff. But if you're one of those, every person probably could commit themselves to the Word of God more than they have. I know I certainly can. But many of us have made the decision. We're already on this path. We just need to persevere and continue. And if you've strayed, get back on it. But there are people in here today who have never made this decision. This is revelation to you that the Word of God is like a seed and that nothing is going to happen without it. And you haven't given a priority to the Word of God. And the Scripture says in Timothy, he says, he is faithful and just to keep that which we commit unto him. No committing, no keeping. You need to make a commitment. There needs to be more. The Bible says faith without works is dead. If you've heard this and if you're saying in your heart that, man, I need to commit myself to the Word of God. I need to get to where I know the Word. I need to plant it in my heart and I haven't done this. I'm not in the process. If that's you, I want you just to make a commitment today. Because if you will commit yourself, God will hold it to you. He'll remind you of it. But you have to commit. So I'd like to ask, not those who've already made this commitment and you're heading in that direction, whether you're doing well at it or not, that's not the issue. I'm talking about people who have never committed themselves to knowing the Word of God. You think that's all up to the preacher or something. And today, if you want to commit yourself and say, I'm going to receive the Word, I'm going to receive my miracle by planting these seeds in my heart. If that's you, I want you to stand right where you are and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment, and I believe that this is going to make a difference in your life. If that's you, just stand up right where you are and I'm going to pray for you, and I believe that this is going to make a difference in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. You know, I've often said this, but there's people that when I give an invitation like this, they don't want to stand because they don't want other people to see. And yet you're here among believers. You're here among people, see, that clap for you when you stand. If you can't stand and reveal your mistake in not putting God's Word first place, if you can't stand and make this commitment in church, you'll never make it out there. You'll fall the first time somebody criticizes you. So I'm going to say that if you're wanting to bootleg this prayer, if you're sitting down and not wanting anybody to realize that this, I'm going to pray specifically this won't work unless you're standing. You're going to have to stand for this prayer to work for you. Amen. See, there's people standing up all over the auditorium. You need to humble yourself and receive this. So, Father, I pray for every person now standing. And in the name of Jesus, we just make a commitment that we have not put your word in our hearts. It has not dwelt there. But, Father, today we receive this word. And we make a commitment to put you and your word first place. That we would meditate on these truths. And we would let God's word begin to dominate us. And, Father, we just make this commitment right now in the name of Jesus. And I believe that the Word of God is entering into our spiritual womb and that we are conceiving and that we are going to bring forth the miracle that we need. Thank you, Jesus. We make this commitment and I believe you help us to hold to it. Remind us, Father, about times that we're wasting and we could have been meditating on the Word of God. We believe that you bring us back to this, and we just thank you for this. We make a decision right here. We look back to this day, November the 17th, 2013, and remember that this is the day that we put God's word in our heart, and we are going to see it split whatever problem is in our life, hard heart. It is going to produce. It's going to release this miraculous power, and we will see our deliverance. And we just speak that, pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen.